This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
If you'll turn to Romans chapter 7, that's where we're headed today as we're continuing on in our foundation series. We started this the first of the month. I'm so glad that February is coming because that means that January is over, right? And it was above freezing when I came to church this morning for the first time in a long time. So I'm kind of glad that we're getting closer to spring. Anybody seen a robin yet? Encourage me. Anybody? Krista saw a cardinal. Cardinals don't count. They're here all winter. Somebody said, Robin, you saw a robin? I see a robin right over there. Robin Barber. Hey, there she is. But someone said they're in Kansas City, so I'm going to go there and see a robin so I can be encouraged. But we're excited to have this foundation series underway. We're going to wrap it next week and then launch into a brand new series on joy. I'm so ready for that. How many of you want joy in your life? Man, I'm ready for some joy. That'll be coming up. A couple of announcements before we dive in this morning. The women's retreat coming right on up, and today's the last day to sign up for that, ladies. There's just a few spots left, so love to have you as a part of our women's retreat. There's a table in the back today, already staffed and ready to take your money, all right? So go back and sign up today. And then if you're planning to go with us or you're thinking about going with us to the Dominican Republic this summer, what a perfect time to promote going to the Caribbean, right? In the end of January. So we're going to be going the end of May through the 1st of June, and we've got a great group already beginning to show interest. We're hoping to take this worship team with us and do another concert outdoors like we did a couple of years ago. Had over 1,000 people show up just on the street for a concert and had some great ministry time. So I know that Christian, our missionary to the DR, is meeting with the pastors now. They're getting the plans together. And so if you'd like to learn more about that, you can sign up online. There's an email link that went out to you this week. If you didn't get that, that means you're not on the bridge. We want to get you on the bridge. So let us know. We'll get you on that. But you can apply online, and you can just come and check out more info on the 12th of February at 5 o'clock upstairs. We'll have a meeting for those who want more information. Okay? So the Foundation Series, it's been sort of a great way to kick off the new year. We're believing God for great things in 2017. We're calling it a building year, a year of breakthrough for our church as we move forward in the plans that God has for this pioneering work. Was thinking this morning as I drove down, I come down Francis sometimes in the morning on the way to church, and it's still dark, and I drive by two big holes in the ground, right? There's one at about 9th and Francis and one at about 6th and Francis. It's just pretty crazy. I mean, seeing that Tootle Opera House gone now, the Pioneer Building, it's just like, whoa, that's really different. It changed the landscape of the city. But how many of you know sometimes, I'm not saying we had to lose that building, but sometimes things come down. And those two holes in the earth both are kind of in transition. One is representing what was, and the other one is representing what will be. But they both look like holes in the ground right now because they're still working on the foundation of the building at 9th and Francis. And I think that's what's happening here among us. I believe some things have to come down so that other things can be raised up. And I believe that working on this foundation is so critical to making us strong and where we're going in the future. So that's what this series was designed to do, help us take a look at some of the basic issues of our life. We started the very first Sunday of the year talking about the one word that we want God to really ingrain in us and to focus and center our life around. Several of you have written your one word on the wall out there, the chalkboard. I would encourage you to do that. Just kind of make it mark, literally, you know, put your word down so we can all be seeing what God's focusing on. Interesting words out there. And I just think it's fun to see how God's speaking. So that was week one. Then we went in to talk about our thought life and how we view ourselves, how we think, how it reflects on our ability to understand God's view of us. We showed the short film, The Butterfly Circus. How many of you saw The Butterfly Circus film? Boy, if you haven't seen it yet, that was a bad Sunday because it was so yucky that day, weather-wise. Not many got to come. But I would encourage you to look that up. I put a link on Facebook that week. Just watch that. And I think it's amazing how we view ourselves really helps us determine how God sees us and how we view people around us. Not things that we see as limitations, God sees as building blocks that he can use to make you uniquely a gift and a part of others around you. Then last week we talked about our thoughts, which was very interesting, you know, timely in considering the current events. How many of you this week had your words a little bit arrested before you spoke something, or you maybe posted something you thought before you spoke, perhaps? Anybody want to confess that? A few of you should have done a better job of that, because I saw some of your posts on Facebook. So, you know, we want to think before we speak. And if you want to change your life, you change the words that you speak. It impacts people around you, and it really allows God to either make you part of the solution, or are you going to continue to be part of a problem? It's all dependent upon the words that we speak. So that's kind of where we've been so far. Those messages are all online. We want to repeat the phrase that we began with the first of the series, that is sort of the key concept behind what we're talking about. It says this: it's the small things that no one sees that result in the big things everyone wants. Let's read those words together. It's the small things that no one sees that result in the big things everyone wants. Think about the small things that you do that nobody notices. Just the small stuff that maybe only you and the Lord know about. Maybe it's your giving. Maybe it's the way you've given a kind word to someone, you know, at Walmart checkout, or, you know, things that you do that don't make a big deal on anyone's radar, but they make a big difference in where your life goes. Everybody wants the big result, but it takes a lot of small decisions along the way to get to those big results. And it includes our thoughts and our words. And today we're going to talk about our actions, what we do, the habits we form. Another word for action would be discipline, right? Because that's really what consistently doing the things that take you the right direction is called discipline. No one likes discipline, right? It's kind of a bad word. Discipline is not a bad word, though. It basically, here's a good working definition for you to write down on your note sheet this morning. Discipline is choosing between what you want now and what you want most. What do you want now versus what do you want the most? Can you see how your decisions could fall in one of those two categories? I want it now. Well, is that really what you need? Is it really going to take you the place you say you want to go? Making those choices, what I want now versus what I want the most. You can apply that principle to any area where you're hoping for success in your life, whether it's your marriage or your children or your finances, your business, your job. You know, in most areas of life, we kind of innately know what to do. We know what's right. You know, most of us know what to do, what would be better for us to do, let's say physically, for our bodies, or what would be good for us morally versus what's not good for us morally. We kind of already know those things, but it's doing what we know is the problem. Consistently, isn't that the issue? I mean, you can kind of hit and miss, but consistency in doing what is right. So, if consistency is the key, why the heck am I so inconsistent with my decisions? Why do I find myself not being able to do that? And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul brings up in Romans chapter 7. He's in the same boat. Don't you love that? That the Apostle kind of says, listen, I'm kind of just like y'all. I'm a moron here. And it says in Romans chapter 7, I'm going to read a few verses, kind of a collection of thoughts here from Paul. Starting in verse 15, he says, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God. The answer is in who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. See, Paul doesn't leave us with the problem. He identifies with the problem, but then he tells us what the truth is, where the answer lies. So let's pray and ask God to reveal that truth to us today. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your people today. Thank you for your church. Thank you that today we've gathered together, God, in your name, and we've worshiped you. We've given you honor. And Lord, we give you permission now to do a work in us. We know ourselves better than anyone else, and yet you know us best of all. And you say there's always hope because of Jesus. So today we want to see that hope. We want to apply that hope and leave here different than we came. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Who can deliver me, Paul says? Only Jesus. With his help, I can change. See, Jesus in me is stronger than any appetite, any temptation, any weakness, any proclivity. See, some of us were raised, all of us were raised in homes where there are certain generational weaknesses. Just like genetics, you know. We have a Labrador retriever, and she's almost 14 years old. So she's starting to kind of not walk so good. And, you know, hip issues are common in that breed of dog. Well, it just kind of came with her breed. And sometimes with us in our families, there are certain things that we tend to lean in toward that, you know, you could say, well, that's just the way it is. You know, I'm kind of tired of that excuse. Have you ever known somebody who's just a jerk and you say, oh, well, that's just so-and-so? It's like, you know what? I'm not sure that we want to just be like that the rest of our lives and excuse it away. Oh, that's just so-and-so. That's a cover for behavior that needs to change. Amen? And in Jesus, it can. But it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It's going to take discipline. It's going to take consistent decisions and choices to move beyond where I normally stand and say, I'm going to move a different way. Because the Jesus in me is stronger than that thing that I've been tempted by or lured by or bothered by, affected by. The way that I've seen my family go isn't the way I have to go. I can draw a line in the sand and say, mm-mm, not doing that, but only through Christ in me. That's the power that makes that choice possible. It's training ourselves to win at what matters most, right? Using that analogy, training like an athlete. Paul uses a lot of those pictures to describe what the Christian life is like. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says, don't you realize, verse 24, that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. Paul's very smart here, using to the Corinthian church something that it's like we've got this big football game coming up next weekend, right? It's like the Corinthians all know about this big race in their culture called the Isthmian Games. It's really hard to say. I-S-T-H-M, Isthmian. Sounds like you got something wrong in your tongue. Isthmian Games. And it's this big event where, you know, the best of the best compete. In fact, the training facility is in the center of town. It's sort of like, you know, everything revolves around that activity, that discipline of training for the games. And only the elite athletes are picked for that. So they pick the athletes and they train for 10 solid months nonstop. And they can't do anything apart from their training regimen. They get no break. They're in this zone where they're constantly training. And they get, you know, no wine, no junk food, no Twinkies. They can only train and discipline themselves. They're subjected to extreme temperatures, hot and cold, so their bodies will be toughened and ready for whatever comes their way during the competition. Strict diets, and they run to win. They don't run for second place. They run to get the prize. Here's another interesting side note. They run naked. They strip off their clothes because that's just how they did it then. Aren't you glad that this is not then? You're right. It's like, especially if you're an athlete or if you're the guy in second place, having to watch the guy in front of you, it would really be awkward. But, you know, that's why they want to win. That's motivation. That's why Paul, though, uses that analogy when he says, strip off every hindrance, every weight, every sin that slows us down and keeps us from attaining the prize. That's where that analogy comes from. How many of you know that when you come into the kingdom, Jesus says all that stuff needs to be stripped away? So the only thing that remains is the person, the destiny, the identity that he gave you. Sometimes we try to put on other things to cover up or, you know, to hide behind. And Jesus says, that's not my destiny for you. That's not my purpose for you. We can only run the fastest when we find our identity in him. Paul says they do it to win a prize that will fade away. The prize for running naked in the Isthmian Games was a wreath of leaves on your head. I'd rather have a towel, personally, as I could rather have that. But that wreath of leaves will fade away, right? It's not going to last forever. Our prize is an eternal prize. And I want to say not just the fact that we get into heaven, which is awesome, you know, for eternity, but we get to enjoy the reward of what we invested in this life, which is people. The people around us, that's the true treasure. We were here Sunday night during sanctuary. Boy, I just, you know, I'm in God's presence and praying, and I just felt like the Lord say, you know, this is a treasure house. And he showed me that the people are the treasure of the house. And I just think of there are so many more people in St. Joseph that this house needs to be able to contain. That's why it's so important for us to break through in 2017 and create a place for people to find out that they are treasured by the one who created them. Amen? The one who loves them most. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. See, we're not naturally disciplined. We have to apply discipline. It's a choice. It's a decision. And we make it every day. Purpose in every step, every decision, every action, everything I do with purpose toward the prize. Otherwise, it's just going to be boxing the air, as Paul says here. Just kind of unorganized, you know, activity that isn't producing the result that I want. For me, one of my disciplines is choosing a glass of water instead of a Dr. Pepper. Okay, that's just how it is. And, you know, it doesn't mean we can never enjoy things in life, but every choice I make is taking me a direction. And I have to choose what I want most. You know, I don't think it's wrong at all to have a treat, you know, to enjoy life around you. But if I am constantly engaging in things that aren't taking me the direction I need to go, then it's going to take me a place I don't want to be. So proud of my wife. She started the first of the year, an exercise thing that she does. And I'll hear her down in the basement on her treadmill, and she'll be singing at the top of her lungs or something, you know. And she's 34 days now, consistently been doing that. And she told me this morning that her resting heart rate is down 10 points from where it was a month ago, which is really good. And those of you who know her history, you know, she could use a little more peaceful heart. So that's good that she's reaping the reward of her discipline, of her choosing the right thing. Yeah, this weekend, Ruby had a swim meet in Leavenworth on the Fort base there. And yay! Lily knows what that is. We were swimming, and Ruby is an awesome swimmer. She's ridiculous. You know, I just can't even think about what she does. It's just crazy. She swims four nights a week for 90 minutes at a time, nonstop, back and forth at the pool at Missouri Western. It's like, how do you do that? And she competed in a couple of events this weekend. What was interesting was right competing in the same pool was this fellow named Michael Andrew, and we became familiar with Michael when Ruby started a competitive swim team last year. Michael lives down the road near Lawrence. He's 17 years old, and in December of this past year, he became the junior world champion in the 100-meter IM. The IM is all four strokes, the fly, the back, the breast, and the freestyle. In 100 meters, all four strokes, and he completed the course in 51.84 seconds to become the youngest male world champion ever in the sport. And Ruby is swimming with him. No intimidation there at all, you know. So funny, because there's this one event he's swimming in, and Michael is like this 12-foot tall, muscle-bound. It was just every muscle fiber in his body is visible, right? And he barely has any clothes on, because that's what swimmers do, right? So everything is on display. And, you know, his arms are hanging down to his knees. He's just this big spider-like creature that was just built for swimming. And this little tiny dude right next to him. It's like, oh, poor little guy. You know, it's like, Michael, come on. Slow down. Let this kid catch up with you. But Michael's body and results are the product of choices he's made. How many of you know at 17... he's had to make some choices that most of us didn't make at 17, right? Or even today. And he's on his way. He'll be in the Olympics. You'll see him, you know, in the years to come. But just a good example. And, you know, not just to use the extreme case of this young man. And I just want to say, too, not only is he physically very strong, but spiritually he is a stud. He loves Jesus. Follow him on Facebook. He's always posting scriptures, asking for prayer before a meet. I love it that he's not only disciplined physically, but as Paul said, for eternal prizes, he's running the race as well. His dad, his mom, his sister, all good Christian people, love Jesus. And so what a good example for those young athletes, but also for us as a people. We're to be the same example for people around us, showing what disciplined action looks like and the reward of that. Consistently making the choices that take us the right direction, choosing the habits that will take us in that vein, choosing what I want most over what I want now. So the question we all have to answer is, what do I want most? What is it I want most? It's a great question. Do you want to be married in the future if you're not currently? Do you want to lose 30 pounds like me? Do you want to get promoted in your job? Do you want to be close to God again like you once were? Do you want to be free from pornography? Do you want to get your cholesterol numbers down? You want to get out of debt? If so, you're going to have to make some disciplined choices. Interesting that Randy did the star intro today. I had no idea he was doing that. I see a life coach just because pastors need that. You know, we need somebody to kind of know what's going on with us. And I let him speak into my life. And every time I go, he always says the same thing. You need to slow down. You need to relax or you're going to burn out. I mean, he tells me that. I've been working to earn money since I was 12 years old. I had to. I wouldn't have gotten to go to school had I not had a job. I paid for my clothes and my book rental fees or whatever I had to do to go to school. It just was life for me. That's all I know how to do is work. And I never take a break. I'm not saying that to brag or whine. I'm just telling you that's my life. I just don't know how to take a break. And frankly, technology is not my friend. Because now, everywhere I go, every day of the week, I'll get texts or emails or somebody needs something. And so I work all the time. And that's not good for Timmy. You know, it's just not. It makes Timmy a dull boy. Timmy has no life. Timmy has no hobbies. Timmy doesn't know how to have fun. So Timmy needs to change, right? Because I don't want to burn out. I want to shine bright for a long time. I'm just getting started, baby. Come on. But I got to make some choices, some disciplined choices. So let me ask you, let me turn the tables on you. Let's turn the spotlight on you. I've been so vulnerable here. How about y'all? What's the one discipline you need to work on? What do you need to do now to have what you want most? Whatever area it is that you're recognizing needs some help, needs some attention. What one thing do you need to do now to have what you need most? Some of us need to join a gym, right? And if you can't afford that, how about just take a walk? That's what my heart doctor told me years ago. I was working at Focus and was having heart-related panicky things. And he did all the tests and he said, your heart is okay. Where do you work? And I told him, he goes, oh, I should have asked you that before I spent your money. He said, I have more stress-related illness from that place than any other company in this town. That's not a very good testimony, is it, for a ministry? He said, you need to take a walk every day. I mean, it can be as simple as that. How about pick the YouVersion app on your phone and just read a verse of scripture every day. That'd be a great discipline to have. Maybe delete another app that's taking some of your time and replace it with the YouVersion app, where you can also get every week our notes for the message of the week. Ah, there's a shameless plug right there. How about committing to a regular date night with your spouse? Be a good way to sow into your marriage. Or praying with your kids. Those are disciplined choices. How about coming to Growth Track next Sunday? Just get up a little early, come to church at 9, and let Randy pour into you. That's what we do every week to help people continue on their pattern toward spiritual maturity. Wednesday night, midweek connection. Now, we've got that going. It's another great opportunity to connect with people and to grow. With Jesus' help, you can do what you need to do to achieve what you want most. Part of it is making a decision. Part of it is saying, I can't do it on my own. I need his help. And quite honestly, you need the help of people around you. That's what accountability is all about. Helping keep each other sharp. Keeping on the path. Making good choices. Running to win. Purpose in every step. I will be what I repeatedly do. With Jesus' help, I can choose what I want most over what I want now. That's laying a good foundation for the future. And people will notice and people will be encouraged. Just like those young swimmers were looking at Michael Andrews saying, I want to be like that. And they know by his example that he's not just a good athlete, but he's a good man. He's building his character while he's building his chosen endeavor. Small things make a big difference. Small decisions. And today we're gonna make a small step, but that's a huge one. For the first time in 2017, we're gonna take communion together. I think we're due. I think it's time to recognize what our true foundation is and where it lies. My hope is built on nothing less, the old hymn says, right? But what? Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest dream, but only lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, a solid rock, I stand. Firm foundation, right? Everything else is what? We call it stinking sand at our house. All other ground is stinking sand. It just ain't going to get you there. If you want to build a life on a firm foundation, you build it on the sacrifice that Jesus made for you. And it's not just enough to say, yeah, mentally, okay, you know. I've been a part of the church for a long time, so yeah, I agree with that. Give me the juice, chug it down, and go your merry way. No, that's not it at all. This morning as we were praying before service, just had this picture in my mind. It's like, you know, you got this table, and it's just cluttered with stuff, you know? Sometimes like our dining room table, it becomes a collection place. Anybody else like that? This stuff kind of collects there. Every once in a while, you got to go through and sort the clutter. You know, I think maybe today it's a clutter sorting day. If you're going to build a life on a firm foundation and make choices that will take you where you want to go versus what you just want now, some of that stuff's going to have to go away. Some of the stuff's going to have to be shelved. I just kind of saw a picture just wiping that table clean. And today Jesus wants to set a table for you. It says he prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. I wonder if that's maybe just a little bit of a nanny nanny boo boo to the devil. So guess what? You can try to slow me down and mess me up and get me off track, but I got a Father in heaven looking out for me. Miserable man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. Do you realize the significance? When you get these two cups, there'll be a juice cup and a bread cup, and they're stacked together. If you're new at this, grab both. But don't grab anything unless you know that this represents your commitment today to build a life on a solid foundation where Jesus is at the base. You're building on him today. Apart from that, it's not going to work. If you even, you're just going to have a snack, right? Unless you understand and are receiving this in faith today. Some things are being torn down. Others the things are coming up. He wants to build a firm foundation. How many of you know we can't build on yesterday's successes? We can only build on what Jesus has for us today. You want that line drawn in the sand today and those other things from the past torn down? That can happen when you take this symbolism of his death, burial, and resurrection and you apply it personally. You want to have something new and solid built in your life that'll take you a place you really want to go versus this, the immediate mindless activity that we're engaged in. I want my life to be more purposeful than that. How about you? Every decision that I make, founded in him.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.